want me to talk about? What's the main theme for this Mother's Day? And just as I said that, this word popped into my mind, and I knew it was from God. And the word is honor. Honor. And we're going to be talking about that. It's basically honor is a way of showing respect in a significant way. And do you know there's only one of the Ten Commandments that comes with a promise? Did you know that? Yeah, let's look at here. Back in Exodus chapter 20, you know, don't lie, don't steal, all those other things. But number 5 is says this, honor your father and your mama, that the days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. That's a pretty good promise, isn't it? And that's what we're going to be talking about, how to honor the women in our lives. I've entitled the message, A Legacy Left Behind. And that's the direction we're going to go. But let me give you a little heads up, too, so I don't have to do this when it's time to talk about this. I prayed about this, and I felt like God encouraged me to ask the 5 most precious women in my life to give me an answer for this. What would you suggest would be the 3 most important ways for you to be honored by your husband, by your kids, all those things? And wives, how much do I get for doing this? Yeah, you can take notes or you can get the CD afterwards. I labeled them the 10 Commandments for Mother's Day. So we'll get into that in a few minutes. But before that, I want to share a little bit about my upbringing and my mama. My mom passed away about 20-some years ago. She died healthy, but kind of worn out. And she died the same age as I am now. I'm going to be 70. She didn't make quite 70. And she told me several things as I was growing up, and mostly when I come back from Alaska, moved back home. Her family were farmers. They've come from generations of farmers. So I want to share those things that she shared with me. Do women like flowers? Kim, you were shaking your head. Why? They're pretty. Why? They smell good? Colorful? Yes. All those things. Well, most women like flowers. My mom used to grow some of these in her lawn over the years. They're called peonies. How many actually know what a peonies flower is? Maybe 6 dozen. They're probably my favorite flower. They come in all different shapes and sizes and colors. I have one in my garden. I bought this about 20 years ago and planted it. And it gets flowers on, literally, the purplish, reddish leaves on them probably get about this big. And in the middle, there's a big yellow head on it where the bees land and pollinate and stuff like that. If it happens to work out right, like it normally does, I'll bring one this spring, probably in the next month, because they're getting close to blooming. She told me, my mom, that when she was a little girl, probably 3 or 4 years old, 5 years old at the most, she said, my mom took me by my hand and we walked up the road just over the mountain, a little village called Summer Hill. It was only about 1/2 mile from her farm to the graveyard where her grandparents were buried. My great-grandfather, I never met him, but his name was Willard. And he must have been a pretty godly man, not because of his name. But anyway, my mom said, when I was a kid, I'd go out on the porch and sit and wait for Grandpa to come up and down the fields in Summer Hill. It was just fields back then. But between the church up by where I grew up, that wasn't there then, and where the farm was, he was always singing in Pennsylvania Dutch while he plowed the fields with his mules. You remember that with your dad? I know Rochelle comes from a farm, family farm too, but she said, I could never understand it. Well, did they teach you anything about how what they're saying? No. And I went, oh, Mom, I would have loved to have some of that knowledge. But her mom took her for this walk up to the graveyard, and they took some roots from a peony's flower and planted them by her grandpa, Willard, and his wife, Annie, the grave. And this is probably the oldest growing flower. They last for over 100 years if you take care of them. 100 years. In better shape than me, probably. But 2 or 3 years ago, I was walking through the graveyard over there, going down to my mom and my dad's place and where they're buried. And I always straighten it up a little bit. I walked by Willard's grave, and there were some peonies growing. I used to be naughty and stole a lot of stuff. But this was the first I ever was a grave robber. I decided I was going to go back with a bucket and a shovel, do it early in the morning so nobody would see me or call the police. And I dug a big clump of those peonies out of there and threw in some dirt from my bucket and stomped it down like no one's going to notice. Ha ha ha. And then come over and planted some of those same peonies that my mom planted by her grandfather, Willard. And I took some home from my garden too. Sentimental thing. And they're growing now next to my mom's tombstone. The same ones that she planted as a little girl. And isn't that special to have special memories like that? Estelle wasn't here. But one of the times we were working in the garden a couple years ago, I gave Estelle a, you know what it is. I said, Estelle, when your grandma and I are gone, you know where our tombstone is over there in Jonestown up by the on the hill. I would love for you to come and take some of our peonies and plant them up to Mom. It could be on your side, but I'll still look over your shoulder. I was thinking, you know, if Jesus doesn't come back for a while and we're dead and in the ground, you know, and bought the farm, all those things, and Jesus comes back and we can raise from the dead and look down, there's those peonies that just had Estelle plant by my grave. So anyway, I am, what's that? No, I already stole from the cemetery enough. But my dad's been gone about 6 years, my mom 20-some. But my dad, before he died, I asked if he would be willing to be interviewed on Father's Day at the church here. So he was up here and I was the interviewer and he was the guy that gave all these answers. And I said, Dad, what made you fall in love with your wife, my mom? He said, well, I don't know if I've ever been asked that before. I said, does anything come to mind? He said, yeah, I'll tell you really what happened and why I decided to marry your mom. They only grew up about half a mile apart. So that they went to school together, they played together and things like that. And when my mom was about 15, her mother died in her arms. She was only 39, heart attack. So she grew up without a mom. Annie, her grandma, died in 1917. trying to give birth to another kid. They lost the kid, they lost the grandma. So my mom didn't have a grandma or a mom at a very tender age of 15 when you really need that kind of input from your mom or your grandma. She didn't have that. My dad said, this is when I decided I was going to marry your mom. I said, what happened? I seen her coming on her bike down the road right towards me. And I'm sure she was thinking I was going to get out of the way. But I'm not going to get out of the way. And so she rode her bike right into me. And I went flying and she went flying. And that day, I said to myself, that's the lady I'm going to marry. And he did. You know, for a long time growing up, I seen this old, rickety old-fashioned bike up above my dad's garage. I never knew that story. If I knew that, I would have saved that bike. You know how they, what do they do to those baby shoes? Bronze them or whatever? I would have done that with a bike. But anyway, I missed my opportunity. So that's how my dad and mom met. And that's how they fell in love. Back to the legacy left behind. It's the way you love. It's the way you pray. And it's the way you show up all the time that you leave a lasting legacy. And I don't know why it is this way, but it's this way more than not, that the moms have a closer relationship with the kids, especially when they're grown up, than the dad. I have a good relationship with my kids, but they love their mama. I think it's because of the way their mama loved them and prayed for them and shown up for anything. So whether you're raising kids or letting them go, that's a scary thought, isn't it, Esther? You're getting a little close. Luckily, you have 10, so you can spread this out a little bit. But letting them go or giving yourself to mature other people, other kids, other females, to make a difference for God, that's to be your life goal. And it's something that's built over time. Wouldn't it be nice if you could snap your fingers and you'd be the perfect mom? And I see all the men's. But anyway, I never did learn to snap my fingers. I can whistle pretty good. You give yourself to make a difference in other people's lives over time. And the three words that came to my mind when I was thinking about this is grace. I would tend to say that women, mamas, have more grace than some of us men. And it's a good thing. They need them both, right?
They need a strong man to show them how to work.
You need a grace there to say, it's going to be all right. And you know what? Another word that came to my mind, and I wasn't even sure what the definition of this was. I had to ask Marsh to look it up on our phone. The word grit, grace and grit. You know how we found out what grit means? You just stick it in there and you do whatever you have to do to make it work as long as it takes. You understand, mamas, what that means? Yeah, you just make it work. And the other one was, you better have a whole lot of prayers ready for these kids because they'll need it. My dad said that I probably went through two or three angels growing up. He said, the hardest thing you ever did to your mom and I was have me drop you off down in Bloomsburg along Interstate 80 and you hitchhike to Alaska. And my mom and I thought, well, at least we had him for a while. But anyway, I'm back, Mom. So, here's another interesting story. My mom didn't have a mom when she was a teenager. She didn't have a grandma. She needed someone to teach her how to be a good mama, right? A good wife. But she had a friend that she ran into with a bike one time, and they fell in love after that bike accident. But my dad said, and one day they got this crazy idea. They were going to take a bus down to Maryland. My mom was not quite 15, and my dad was 15. And they thought, we're going to go down to Maryland so we can get married down there. It's a safer environment than Pennsylvania. They have so many rules. And I asked them when I grew up, so how was that? Ask your grandma. My dad's parents were some of our best friends, Marcia and I both. Beatrice, they called her Beat. And Beatrice and Louis Shingler, we went double dating with them. It was my grandparents and Marcia and I. And I still remember that time. One time we took them to the movie theater, and they were sitting behind us. Maybe they didn't want to embarrass us or whatever, but they were sitting behind us. And throughout the movie, they were giggling and telling jokes to one another. And one time I went, shh, all right, all right. But anyway, they were just special, special friends. They decided they were going to run off to Maryland and get married. They got down there. They used all their money for that crazy bus ride. They went into the Justice of the Peace and was told, yes, we'll marry you at this age, but you need your parents' signature. What do we do now? They had to, what is it, eat the crow and call. They bummed money off of the judge to call home and say, Dad, Mom. And they said, where are you? We're in Maryland. What are you doing down there? Well, we wanted to get married. Can you come and get us? I asked my grandmother, maybe you were with me when I asked. I said, Graham, what was that ride like going back from Maryland to Pennsylvania? Just you two, Graham and Grandpa, and my mom and dad. And Beat's answer was this. It was very, very quiet. A long ride with no word said from anybody. So I thought it was a funny story. So they got married. They got back, and my grandparents said, you know, they did this. Who knows what else they're going to do to doesn't get hitched. We better just let them get married. And so they got married. My mom and dad were 15 and 16 when they got married. But I think it stuck. Yeah. Well, on to these famous five women in my life that I asked, what kind of advice would you give us? Give all of us, because I told them I was going to use some of these things in the sermon. And I am. I'm not going to tell you who's who's. And I tried to disguise it as much as I could. But I'm going to go through the 10 great commandments for Mother's Day. Number one, to express to us why we're loved and appreciated. Now, I don't have to ask any lady here, would you like to have that? Would you like your husband or like your kids to express love and gratitude and appreciation for you, for what they do? I know the answer. You know the answer. Number two, when we get to spend uninterrupted time with one another and my presence is valued. That's a good one, isn't it? Number three, help around the house with my heavy load of work. It demonstrates you care about me and you show it with your actions. That's a good one. These are all good ones. When something's done for me or by me, when something's done by me, say thank you often. Number five, by being the spiritual leader of our household with words and affirmation that get conviction coming yet for many of these things. Now, what your job is to take one of these every month and become perfect at it. No, what your job is to pick one of these, the one that you say, well, that's the one I think I need help with the most. And just concentrate on that and spend a lot of prayer on that and say, God, help me to encourage my wife or encourage those in my family how to do that better this coming year. And that'll keep all of us busy. Number six, this is probably my biggest one, but I don't know what to do with it. By working at understanding what I'm always saying. If the females in my life just would be as smooth and easygoing and doing the same way of thinking about things every day, and then you would say, Jess, just dream on. And probably the wives are saying, why is that such a problem? One of my favorite movies, and I'm not a movie person. I like a few movies. One of them is it Fiddler on the Roof? Or no, that's not Fiddler on the Roof. Where the guy says, my fair lady, why can't the woman be more like a man? Because they're not men. But anyway, it's a funny movie. Worth watching. Don't watch it on Mother's Day. Where am I? Seven, by not having to repeatedly reminded to do something I've been asking him to do for quite a while. I can relate to every one of these. That's why I knew you guys would be able to too. Number eight, show and tell how much they're appreciated for all that they do. I don't have to ask you this, but I'm going to. When was the last time you thanked your wife for washing those stinky underwear and socks and folding them back up and throwing them in that drawer? No, not even throw them, just gently put them there in a nice neat order. And this is probably the one that I probably have the biggest problem with. Not jumping to assumptions about what is being said. Can anybody relate to me like that? I see a lot of grins on faces of men. I don't think they expect us to be perfect, but these are some things that make a difference to a lady. And if that's the case, I need to give it a little better shot at times. Number 10 is make me feel valued. Make me feel valued. I remember going to a men's conference one time, and one of the speakers told about his wife getting asked what she does, you know, for a living. She always told him, well, I'm a pastor's wife. I help my pastor. I help my husband a lot, da, 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 da. She always gets people to respond and say, oh, is that all you do? And unless you're a pastor's wife, you have no idea what Marcy goes through making this ministry possible. So this lady wrote out this little card. I wish I would have kept the card, and I'm not going to do it justice trying to say what she does for a living. She listed, I'm a life manager of different grade levels of children all at the same time. And I've learned to be a gourmet cook. And I've learned to do all these other things. She had a whole list. The card was bigger than a regular business card. And so when somebody asked her, she would give them one of these cards. And they read it. You're a pretty busy lady. You have no idea, buddy. But anyway, so you know what I'm getting at. And let's see. Charlie, you are a faithful helper. You're going to go downstairs and tell them to bring all the kiddos up. And we'll tell jokes for 5 minutes till they get up here. Maybe I should have saved some of those other stories. You know, what we're going to do is we're going to get all the women folk, young and old, up here in a kind of a glob. And then all the men are going to circle them, and we're going to pray for them. And some of you feel free to pray too. Short little prayers to bless them. I know one time there's an animal. I never did see one in Alaska. They're further north than I normally was. Anybody ever hear of a muskox? Yeah? How the muskox work in Alaska. Wolves love baby muskox. Some of our other critters, too. So when the muskox mom and dad ever feel like there's danger lurking behind that bush over there, they make a circle, and all the dads and moms facing away from the circle with all the little guys shoved in there nice and safe. And they do whatever it takes to guard those little babies, little baby muskox. What do you call baby muskox? You don't know? A baby muskox. But anyway, you're protecting them. And so we need to be that for our women. We need to be that for our kids. And we're the ones that do that protection. And do muskox ever get attacked? Yes, they do. And that's when they gang up on this poor little wolf gorm and stick their ground. So we need to be doing that. So Brian, are you ready to do that when you become a father? Be a big muskox type of guy? Yeah. Come on in, everybody. Come on in. So what we want is, Eddie, if you want to move this over there for me, and then I'm going to turn this off.